Our guest today on Introductions is 18-year-old pianist James Steinhardt, a senior at New Trier High School who has won many different competitions, including the Steinway Young Artists Competition, the Piano Division of the Walgreens Concerto Competition, and the North Shore Music Teachers Association Competition, among many more. He's prepared for us this hour music by Nico Muhly, Rachmaninoff, Liszt, and Debussy, which is all coming up after this short break. Welcome to Introductions. I'm David Polk. Our guest this hour is 18-year-old pianist James Steinhardt of New Trier High School, who made his solo piano debut at age 9 when he performed a Haydn piano concerto with the Northwest Indiana Symphony Orchestra. Since then, he has won multiple piano competitions, including his high school's annual concerto competition, which he won last school year and for which he performed Prokofiev's second piano concerto. And James is also an accomplished chamber musician, cellist, and composer. His chamber groups and some of his compositions have even been heard on this program. And he's principal cellist of his high school orchestra, and he was second chair in this year's Illinois Music Educators Association's All-State Honors Orchestra, which we heard on this program last month. So we'll talk a bit later about how he fits all of this into his schedule. But first, let's hear some music. James will begin with a piece by the contemporary New York-based 30-year-old composer Nico Muhly. It's called Quiet Music, and this is Introductions. Thank you. some music by contemporary composer Nico Muley to open up this edition of Introductions featuring 18-year-old pianist James Steinhardt. We heard Nico Muley's Quiet Music. Well, welcome to WFMT, James.
Thanks for having me.
What an interesting selection to begin with. Nico Muley is 30 years old and lives in New York City. And right. I know that to you, 30 is really, really old, but technically, he's of the same generation as you, people who grew up around computers. And I think that's one defining aspect of the millennial generation. So is this one of the first pieces you've learned by somebody of your, an established composer of your own generation?
Yeah, I would say this is the very first piece I've actually played by someone who's, you know, only a couple years older than me, and it's exciting.
So how did that change your relationship with this piece?
It was really interesting because this piece is unlike, obviously, any other piece I've played before in that there's no really typical melody that you can follow throughout the entire piece. And so it was really interesting just working with the different tones that you can get out of this piece without having a melody. And I thought that was very interesting.
How did you come across the Muley piece?
Actually, I was at this dance show at New Trier. It's the annual New Trier Kinesis dance show. A couple of my friends are a part of that. And this song came on as one of the soundtracks for one of their dances, and it immediately struck me as a very unique piece. And after the show, I decided to do some research, and I found out who Nico Muley was, and I ordered the music, and that's pretty much how I started learning this piece.
Interesting. It's probably not all the time that a classical piece is featured at a high school dance show.
No, it was actually the only classical piece of that entire night. So
do you think that his music might be crossing, erasing some of these distinctions between the different genres?
Yeah, I definitely say so. I've heard that he's actually been working with more artists in different music industries, such as the pop industry as well. So yeah, that's definitely a big possibility.
Well, thanks for beginning this hour with that piece. Certainly the first one heard on this program, and also very interesting to hear it performed by somebody of his generation. And we're going to change gears for the next piece with some Rachmaninoff, which I understand is one of your favorites of all time.
Yes.
What are you going to perform for us?
This is the first and second movement of the Rachmaninoff Piano Sonata number 2. Well, it's just a great piece. It's quintessential Russian romanticism. It's characterized largely by soaring, gorgeous melodies and extremely thick, luscious harmonies as well. And the piece is just very moving, especially the second movement. You'll hear there's a recording on YouTube of the famous Van Cliburn playing this piece in 1960 in Moscow, and it's such a touching piece with such a fantastic artist playing it that there's points where it almost sounds as if the piano's crying.
And you also told me before that this Van Cliburn recording of the Rachmaninoff Sonata we're about to hear is your favorite recording of anything of all time.
Yes, it's that good.
So you'll have to send me the link for it, and we'll put it on the webpage.
I will definitely.
Underneath your recording of this piece that we're going to hear now. This is music by Rachmaninoff. We're going to hear his Piano Sonata number 2, the first two movements, right?
Yeah.
First two movements. And it'll be performed by our guest, 18-year-old pianist James Steinhardt, who is a senior at New Trier High School. This is Introductions.
Thank you.
A beautiful interpretation of the second piano sonata, the first two movements of Rachmaninoff, performed here in WFMT's Levin Performance Studio by 18-year-old pianist James Steinhardt, who is a senior at New Trier High School and also who studies piano privately with Brenda Huang. Thank you for that performance, James, especially after the Nico Muhly piece that you began the hour with.
Right.
Two very contrasting pieces, but also two very emotional pieces. So
yes.
Just a demonstration of the versatility in your playing. How long have you been working on that, Rachmaninoff?
Oh, I've been playing this one for about 2 or 3 years. I've been playing it since I was a freshman in high school. So
that's why you sound so confident.
Yeah. It's been with me for a while.
What's some advice that your teacher, Brenda Huang, gave you about performing it?
Well, she always emphasizes how with Rachmaninoff especially, but with any piece, the phrasing is crucial. And there's many parts in the piece where you might not think there's a very important line or something, but you have to do your best to look for that phrase throughout the entire piece because it's always there in Rachmaninoff, and just to be able to shape it so that it makes musical sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can listen to that Rachmaninoff or anything else on this program again on our website, WFMT.com/introductions, which is also where you can submit an audition to perform on this program. It only takes a few minutes, and we welcome your YouTube auditions, or you can upload any music file. And you can leave a comment for James directly on the introductions webpage in the comments section at the bottom of the page. We're going to take a short break now. When we return, James has prepared for us music by Franz Liszt and Claude Debussy. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Introductions. I'm David Polk. If you're just joining us, our guest this hour is 18-year-old pianist, cellist, and composer James Steinhardt, who is a senior at New Trier High School in Winnetka and studies piano with Brenda Huang, and that's what we're focusing on this hour, his piano performance. And coming up in a moment, he's prepared for us some music by Liszt and Debussy. As a pianist, James has won several competitions, including the senior division of the Steinway Young Artists Competition and the piano division of the Walgreens National Concerto Competition, which he has won 3 times. As a cellist, he performs with the Midwest Young Artists Symphony Orchestra, was the second chair in this year's Illinois Music Educators Association's All-State Honors Orchestra in Peoria, which is one of the most prestigious orchestras in the state. And as a composer, he won first place in the 2010 Music Institute of Chicago Composition Competition. And I have not even mentioned his chamber playing, which has been featured on this program, and we'll put a link to those programs on our website as well. James, before you got here, we were trying to count up how many times you have been on Introductions through your all the various ensembles that you're a member of, and that includes the Chinese Fine Arts Society, Youth Ensemble, which we heard a few years ago, Trio Bravo of Midwest Young Artists, the New Trier Symphony Orchestra, which you also performed a concerto with last year, the Midwest Young Artists, IMEA, all of these things. How do you fit it all into your schedule?
It's difficult. I guess the key phrase is time management. It's something that I've gotten a lot better at since I began high school, and it's just really about managing my time so that I can focus on one thing at a time as I do it, and then have time left for other stuff, I guess.
Which came first, cello or piano?
Piano
or
is composition? My first instrument. I started piano at the age of 6. I composed my first piece at the age of 7, and I started taking cello lessons when I was about 13. So
instead of focusing on just the piano, for example?
Well, I think being able to play multiple instruments really opens you to a lot of new doors. For instance, piano is mainly a solo instrument. So with cello came things like, you know, orchestra and chamber music. And it's just really great to be able to explore all different avenues of music, I think. And additionally, I think it gives you a lot more perspective as a composer if you can play multiple instruments as well, because, you know, you might be an accomplished pianist, but it's really hard to write for, I'd say, a string instrument unless you've played it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, things like that, it's definitely helped with.
Well, next you have some music by Franz Liszt for us.
Yes. This piece is called Waldesrauschen, which translates to Forest Murmurs. And it's the first etude in a series of two etudes he wrote, two concert etudes. And this piece is really meant to, it's meant to capture kind of the feeling and the sound of wind traveling through a tranquil forest. And the main reason why I chose this particular etude was that it's different from a lot of his etudes in that it's not nearly as flamboyant or flashy as most of Liszt's etudes are known to be for. And this piece it's a lot more subdued and reserved, and it's very lyrical as well, so it's a very beautiful piece.
Music now by Franz Liszt, his Waldesrauschen, performed by our guest today on Introductions, James Steinhardt, who is in our 11 performance studio. another gorgeous performance by 18-year-old pianist James Steinhardt. We heard music by Franz Liszt, his Waldstraussian Forest Murmurs, which is the first of a series of two concert etudes that Liszt wrote. James, your technique is amazing.
Thank you.
It seems like there must be a lot of scales in your practice routine or something. How do you make your playing so precise? What advice could you give to the rest of us?
Scales are definitely important as they're very foundational to having a solid technique. I would say working on challenging etudes is actually just as beneficial as just playing straight scales or cherny or stuff like that, because when you put the technique into action in an actual piece, it really makes you understand why you need to, you know, why you need to be good at scales and stuff like that. So I've been playing scales a lot, but additionally I also like to challenge myself and play an etude that works on a specific technique that I'm not so good at.
So you and your teacher specifically choose etudes depending on your weaknesses.
Yes, we do, yeah.
So what is the WC that we're going to hear next?
So this is called Reflections in the Water, and it's the first movement of a three-movement volume called Images, Book 1, that he wrote. And each movement is, it attempts to capture like a specific image that he had in mind. This one, of course, being light reflecting on the water. And the way he does that is it's the different types of articulations that he includes throughout the piece. It'll resemble kind of different forms of water moving, so to speak. So, for instance, you'll hear very melodic flowing sounds at times, and at other times you'll hear more rippling sounds, especially towards the end of the piece. And so what this piece essentially does is it really paints a vivid image in the audience's mind of the beautiful light reflecting on the water.
And in the questionnaire that we made you fill out before this program, which we make everybody fill out, you wrote that you, while you're playing this piece, you now have an image of a specific painting in your mind.
Yeah, there's several paintings, actually. I had the pleasure of going to Paris over the summer, and we went to Musée d'Orsay, which is the Impressionist art museum over there. And there's just so many gorgeous paintings of water and different landscapes, and those are really the images that that go through my mind as I perform this piece.
Well, how great that you bring in all the various arts into your performing, into your performances. So let's hear now music by Claude Debussy, his Reflets dans l'eau, Reflections in the Water. Again, 18-year-old pianist James Steinhardt. This is Introductions. Thank you. music by Debussy, performed by James Steinhardt, our guest here in Introductions. We just heard his Reflets dans l'eau, Reflections in the Water. And James, you're going to end the hour now with some more Debussy, perfect for celebrating the 150th anniversary of his birth. So what are you going to end on?
This last piece is called L'Île Joyeuse, and it means the island of pleasure or the island of joy. And this piece is, I chose this piece largely because it, although it's written by the same composer, Debussy, as the previous piece, it contrasts it very much, and it's a lot more, it's a lot wilder, and it's also a very sensual piece. It's based on, it's largely inspired by this painting by a French artist named Watteau, and the painting is called The Embarkation for Cythera. And in this painting, you see there's these couples, and in the background, there's Cupid angels, and even further in the background, you see a gorgeous mountain and the ocean. And so this piece really tries to capture kind of all of the joy that you can experience from that painting.
So did you learn all of this from your own research?
Yeah, I just researched it before I played this piece.
And did knowing more about the music, including looking at the painting that this is based on, did this change help your performance in any way?
Yeah, definitely. It always helps to have an image in your mind when you're performing, especially if the piece was based on a painting. So, yeah.
And in the spirit of our celebrations of Debussy's 150th birthday, what is it about the composer that you think is so special?
I think Debussy, he loves exploring all these different tones and uses all these different modes of scales. And I think his sound is really quite unique in all of classical music. It's just the different tones that he gets on the piano it's really quite remarkable.
So James, 18-year-old James Steinhardt, is going to end this program now with some more music by Debussy. We're going to hear his Island of Pleasure, L'Île Joyeuse, and this is Introductions. 18-year-old pianist James Steinhardt, our guest here on Introductions, ending his program with music by Claude Debussy. We heard his L'Île Joyeuse, The Island of Pleasure. James is a senior at New Trier High School, and he studies piano privately with Brenda Huang. He's also an accomplished cellist and a composer, and it was so much fun to listen to somebody as thoughtful and curious and interested in music as you, James, and interested in new music and also interested in the connections between the various arts and also in learning about your pieces. And that's why it will probably be a surprise to many people that you do not plan on going to conservatory or even majoring in music. You're applying to liberal arts colleges and universities. So how do you envision music being part of your life in the future?
Well, the Steinhardt family tradition has typically always been to play music your entire life, but don't make it your profession. So that's what my grandpa did, that's what my dad did, and that's pretty much what I intend to do. So music will definitely always have a significant impact on my life. I'll always be playing it in some way or another. So that's kind of how music is going to, like, carry out through the rest of my life, I guess.
So that said, what would you say that music has given you, your study of music has given you, besides having an amazing talent and learning about music?
Well, like you mentioned earlier, it's really a great way of meeting new people, making new friends. And on another level, it's also it's a great way to engage with art. Last year in school, in our English class, we focused a lot on art in terms of literature and exploring that. And I think having grown up with music, it really helped me to understand and appreciate that. So
when you do go to college, do you know what you want to study yet?
I'm not sure, but I'm currently looking to be an international relations major. So yeah.
Good choice. Well, thanks so much for performing for us, for preparing this wonderful program for us this
thanks
hour.
Thanks for having me.
Here on WFMT. And you can listen to this performance again, find the complete program listing, and upload your own audition to perform here by visiting our website, wfmt.com/introductions. And we welcome your comments about this series. You can post your comments for James directly on our website at the bottom of the page in the comments section. Introductions is an original production of 98.7 WFMT. The executive producer is Steve Robinson. Our engineer today was Peter Serbin, and our theme music was performed by Trio Vida. I'm David Polk, the host and producer of Introductions. Please join us again next week here on WFMT.